Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Are you guys having a good week? Well, you know what? It's okay to say no, too. Not every week is a good one, right? As much as we'd like every week to be a good one, not every week is. And no matter whether you're coming here because you had a wonderful week or you're here this day, you just dragged yourself in, you're in the right place. Because God wants to connect with you today. God has something for you here at Whole Life, and we want to welcome you so much. You know, one of the things that we're so grateful for is that it's not just the people that are inside the worship center here who are worshiping with us today. We have people all over the world that are joining us online. If you're one of those people, we want to say thank you for joining us. Last week, I wasn't here to preach because I was visiting one of our online people who also happens to be my grandmother. She lives up in the mountains of Virginia. And when I say the mountains of Virginia, I mean you turn left and you go across three mountain ranges and there is no cell service. So, but grandma's able to join us online via the internet. And so for those of you joining, we're so grateful that we're able to go to places where maybe churches aren't always the easiest to get to. And so would you be okay with, my grandma turned 100 last Saturday. Yeah. She's still living on her own, and I'd just love for you to meet her, so check her out.
Hey there, family. Thanks for letting me have the weekend with my grandma. It's her 100th birthday. Happy birthday, Grandma.
What am I supposed to say? Thank you.
Is the cake any good?
No, shoot.
Cake any good?
Cake is real good. The ice cream too. Glad to be with you all today. I know you've made a long trip.
Totally worth it. I love being here with you. Do you think I look as good as you do at this at your age?
Oh yes, 10 times.
You're a good liar. I gotta know, do I get your genes or do I get grandpa's genes? Because I'm really, as far as longevity goes, I want yours.
I think you got mine. You're about as crazy as I am. Oh, shoot.
Everybody knows that this Wednesday is Earth Day, right? Yeah, Earth Day is coming up. We've got something special for you out in the lobby. I'll tell you about that a little bit more later. But another important thing that's happening this week is that Advent Health University is having their graduation on Monday. And so we want to say a huge congratulations to everybody who's graduating from Advent Health University. Yeah, we're coming. So if you are family visiting your graduate today, we're so happy to have you here. And if you are graduating, congratulations. In case you're not aware of it, maybe this is your first time here, Advent Health University, we are the campus church for Advent Health University. And so we are very proud of that and very proud of Advent Health University. And so we're really going to celebrate today everybody who's graduating during this season that's coming up, from pre-K all the way through college. And as I was thinking about how to do a sermon that blended Earth Day and graduation, I thought about what it would mean to grow healthy spiritually. Because whether you're graduating from pre-K or you're graduating with your PhD, one of the things that you know is that evaluating things is important. Parents spend a lot of time evaluating what pre-K to put their kids into, right? At least I hope you do. We spend time evaluating. I have some friends who have kids that are graduating from high school this year, and they have been touring campuses. Is this the right campus for my child? Is this the right place? Is this the place that's going to help them become the person that we want them to become? Now, occasionally, more than maybe a little occasionally, I have you guys reach out to me and say, hey, Ken, what do you think about this book, this religious book? What do you think about this religious music? What do you think about this speaker who's talking on spiritual things? And when you do that, I'm assuming you're asking me to evaluate them. You're asking me what my opinion is about that. And so I thought it'd be fun today to share with you how I evaluate whether something is spiritually healthy or spiritually toxic. In other words, is it going to help me grow spiritually or is it going to be detrimental to my spiritual growth? And it's something that if you don't like the questions that I ask, that's fine. Use them as a springboard to ask the questions that you think are relevant. But all of us should be evaluating what's being fed to us spiritually. Because all of us understand that physically, if we don't eat right, there are consequences. And the same thing is true in our spiritual lives. What we put in matters. It has an impact. So I want to give you 12 ways that I go about determining if I think something is spiritually healthy or spiritually toxic. The first question that I always ask myself is, who's glorified? Who's glorified? Is it God-centered or is it self-centered? Or is it based off of a charismatic leader? Now, I'd like to say I don't think there's anything wrong with being a charismatic leader, okay? But the question is, what direction is that leader pointing you towards? Is it more about them and their needs and what they're trying to accomplish? Or is it more about Jesus and helping you grow into a deeper relationship with Jesus? The other question and trap that I think that we can fall into sometimes is it so self-centered that it's all about you? It's about helping you become wealthy. It's about helping you have X, Y, and Z. And it becomes so about you that there's not a recognition that you have a purpose to serve as well. That it's not just all about you. Yes, you need to grow spiritually. Yes, you need these things. But the question is, who's being glorified in that? Is it you or is it Jesus? Now, you're going to see on all these slides that I'm going to have scriptures that I say are supporting scriptures. If you want to take a picture of the slide, you're more than welcome to take a picture. I'm not going to read through all those scriptures. I'm just letting you know when I'm giving you my opinion, these are some of the scriptures that I base that opinion off of. All right? The next question I ask myself is, does it encourage growth? And is the encouragement based on love versus shame? I think that all good religion should expect growth. After all, if you're not growing, you're dying. So good religion, good spiritual teaching expects there to be growth. And the healthy kind bases it off of love, not shame. Do you understand the difference? Shame is like, you're a horrible person if you don't do this. You're terrible. Love is, you know what? If you do these things, it's going to make your life better. It's going to make you a better part of the world around you. It's going to draw you closer to Jesus. So as you're evaluating, that's one of the questions you can ask yourself. Is it encouraging me to grow? And if so, how's it going about doing that? Because sometimes the how is just as important as where you're trying to, because you can grow, but if it's shame-based, what I've discovered about shame-based growth is it doesn't generally last. Love-based growth, when you're doing it because of intrinsic motivation, love is intrinsic. It's inside of you. Extrinsic is shame. Do this or else. Love-based
When it's intrinsic, it lasts. Extrinsic tends to not be the most lasting. And so that's why it's so important to find that internal reason that's like, this is why I'm doing it. Not because I'm ashamed. Because in the world we live in, what happens now is that people just move away from the shame. I'll just go find somebody who agrees with me. And it's not hard. They're online. I can find the people who agree with me. And so that's why here at Whole Life, one of the things you'll notice is we really try to motivate you out of love. Because we want you to grow. The next question is, does it make you more compassionate or more judgmental? The teaching, the spirituality that's coming into you, is it making you a more compassionate person or a more judgmental person? Are you looking at the world and seeing people who are hurting? Or are you looking at the people in the world and seeing people you're superior to? Healthy spirituality, spirituality that will make you thrive, is not the kind that judges everybody else around. And you're like, I know I'm better because I'm better than 80% of the people around me. True spirituality, true Christian spirituality creates compassion, not judgment. Even Jesus said he didn't come into this world to judge it, but to provide a way. Does what you're encountering, does the book you're reading, the sermon you're watching, the music you're listening to, does it encourage you to ask more questions or does it shut down questions? Beware of people who tell you that you can't question them. Beware. That's where cults go. You'll notice there's a reason why we do Q&A after sermons. It's not because I don't get everything right. And there's also questions that you have. You should be able to ask them without feeling like you're doing something wrong. You need to belong to something that says, hey, it's absolute, because here's the thing. If I'm confident in what I believe, it doesn't bother me if you don't agree with me. I know what I believe. Do I want you to believe what I believe? Of course I do, because I believe it's right. And I'm not afraid for you to ask questions, because I've asked questions and I've come to the conclusion that I've come to. But the problem with religion that shuts down is that there's a fear that if people dig too deep, they're going to find out that what you believe isn't true. I believe true religion doesn't have fear. In fact, the Bible says that true love casts out fear. So is your religion asking you to ask more questions, or is it saying, just trust us? You don't need to look into this. A while ago, I had somebody ask me to give me their opinion on a series of videos done by somebody. I made it through the first one, and I asked them, when you watch these videos, did you go and fact check any of the things that the person said? Well, no, they're way smarter than I am. I said, well, I didn't have a ton of time, but I just fact-checked 3 or 4 of the claims they made, and none of them check out. And the experts that they were citing are not experts. They're people who've been thoroughly debunked. Don't be afraid to question me. Don't be afraid to question anybody who's giving you information. Ask questions. Ask questions. And don't take a religion that doesn't let you do that. Next question I ask myself is, does it produce freedom or control? This is somewhat related to the last one. Jesus said that he came to give us freedom. So is that what you're experiencing? Or are you finding that you're being controlled? You need to do this, you need to do that. Or is it, you need to do this because it's what's best for you, but you decide. Let's not forget that God gave Adam and Eve the opportunity to make mistakes. And they did. And it cost God dearly that they did. What kind of religion says that we can't allow people to make mistakes? It's a very shallow religion. And when people make mistakes, are we like Christ and do we love them anyway and find a way to help them? Or do we say, I told you so, you don't belong here anymore? Good religion is going to create freedom, not control. Does what's being taught make you feel like holiness is only achievable if you separate yourself from the world and the people in it? Family, one of the big realizations in my life came for when I was about 23 or 24, and for the first time in my life, I was doing something outside the walls of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I grew up in a little Adventist community with my Adventist friends. We went to school together. We went to high school together. We went to college together. We graduated and started working for an Adventist organization together. And if I'm going to be very real with you, I kind of had this idea that people outside my bubble were poor them. And suddenly when I was no longer wanted inside the Adventist church, and I went and got a job outside in secular radio and then television, I suddenly realized there's a whole world of very wonderful people. And you know what I also realized? That all the things that I took for granted within the walls of the Seventh-day Adventist church, I appreciated them that much more because I saw how they benefited my life. And I thought, man, I'd love to share this piece that I have with my colleague who's going through this. And I'd like to. And suddenly, I realized what the whole purpose of the doctrines I've been taught was. It wasn't to be an insular little community of just us against everybody else. But it was an opportunity for me to go out into the world and be the salt that brings flavor into the world. Beware of religion that tells you that you can't associate with the world. Jesus prayed that we would be in the world, but not of the world. Jesus came out of the perfection of heaven into the sinfulness of this world. Jesus was said to eat with sinners. In other words, he said he spent time with his community. Are we doing the same? Or are you part of something that's like, oh, no, 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 hands off. Beware if that's the case. Does this religion center on love or loyalty tests? If you don't do this, you can't be a part of the community anymore. If you do that, now, hear me out. I know there are things that we have to be careful for. When people bring things into community that is harmful and causes pain and hurt, we have to address that as a community. And we also need to give people the opportunity to grow and to think and to make decisions. So is it based on love or is it based on loyalty? You know, one of the things about the Seventh-day Adventist Church when it started off, and it's important for you to understand this, is that we were very proud of being a creedless church. Keep in mind, up to that, most churches, most denominations had a creed. You must adhere to this creed or you can't be a part of us. And Seventh-day Adventists at the beginning said, no, we don't do creeds. I think we've regressed a little bit. And it's time to go back to that original standard of saying, you know what? We allow people to have the freedom to make thoughtful decisions as long as they're not harming the group. Does your religion create humility or superiority? Good religion should be making you more humble, not putting you on a higher plank. Jesus embodies this as he washes the feet of his disciples. Is your religion encouraging you to wash the feet of people who are disgusting? And you do know that's a metaphor, right? Or is it your religion saying, you're better than everybody else? Good for you. Does what you're taking in spiritually make you care more about the vulnerable or protect the powerful? What did Jesus say? I came to take care of the sick, the people who actually need a doctor. That's what I came for. Read through both the Old Testament and the New Testament and time again. Just look up those Bible verses. There are so many Bible verses that talk about taking care of the poor, taking care of the orphan, taking care of those who are not able to take care of themselves. And as my good friend Doug Hart at Markham Woods, just up the road from us, told his congregation in a sermon recently, he said, if you really want to make God angry quick, start abusing the poor, the foreigner, and the orphan. If you really want to see God's wrath come down on a nation, just do that. Just read through the Bible. It's very clear. It's all there. So what's your religion doing? Is it making you care about the people who are least able to take care of themselves, or is it making you indifferent to them? Does it bring integration or fragmentation? You following me on this one? Is your religion integrating into every part of your life, or is it just saying, here's your Saturday church service life, and then here's everything else? Here's your spiritual life. As long as you have worship in the morning when you wake up, you spend 20 minutes in prayer, you can go about the rest of your day and do anything you want. You can, and you're fine. Or is it a religion that's saying, no, every moment belongs to God? Every moment is God's. And that's not to be scary. It's to be like, that's cool. You get to hang out with the person that loves you the most in the world. Is what you believe impacting what you watch, what you listen to, how you spend your time, the people that you love and care for? Are you creating a whole life? See what I did there? Or are you creating a fragmented life? Here's one that I want to be a little careful with, but it's important to me. Is it couched in emotionalism? Unfortunately, I've watched this happen so much through the years where people try to become spiritual drug addicts. They try to chase the high. Are there high moments in our relationship with God? Absolutely. Are there moments where you're like, have this profound, like you're just crying, like you feel God so deep? Yes, absolutely. But if that's what you're chasing constantly, you're ignoring the fact that there's a God who created seasons. There is a spring, there is a summer, there is a fall, there are winters. And if you can't make it through the winter, move to Florida. If you can't make it through the winter spiritually, that's problematic, because winter has a purpose too. So when you start going to church, are you evaluating on how it makes you feel? Or are you evaluating it on the changes that are happening in your life, the growth that you're seeing God doing in you? Or is it just trying to get a spiritual fix once a week? By the way, I want to also speak against the opposite side of this, which oftentimes can be a problem in certain spiritual corners, which is emotion has no place. God created us to be whole persons. He gave us our emotions. He gave us logic. We can use them all together at the same time. So I am not at all saying there's something wrong when you feel something deep inside and you're like, oh, this is wonderful. But my caution to you is if you keep chasing that particular high, as if that's the only thing that can ever be. And that you can, and if you go to church one week and you don't feel something, something's wrong with you or wrong with the church. So here's how I want to wrap it up. That's a lot of things to remember. Some of you took pictures, some of you didn't. But I'm going to give you three things that I think you can just boil it right down to. And it's found at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So there are three things that remain. You remember the three things that remain in the end? Faith, hope, and love. So let's just boil it down to this. When you start evaluating religion, what's coming in, what you're reading, where you're going to church, the first question I have for you, is it giving you hope for today and tomorrow, or is it scaring the ever-living life out of you? Is it making you feel hopeless and like you can never be good enough and God doesn't? If it's doing those things, please move away from that. You should be a part of a religion that gives you hope. You have a Savior who has died for you and who's been resurrected, and you have the hope of eternity. Is it creating faith in Jesus in you? Or is it creating faith in your work or someone else's work? As long as I listen to this pastor, I'll be okay. Let me tell you how quickly you will be devastated if that's what you do. I pray you never say that about me, ever. Pastors, human beings, we're very fragile and we make lots of mistakes. So don't put your faith in a person, put your faith in Jesus and let that faith grow in him. And the final thing, is it producing love? Are you loving yourself better? Are you loving the world around you better? Are you loving God better because of what you're taking in? As you think about what it means to grow spiritually, I hope that these things will help you as you go about how you evaluate what you choose to put into yourself and how you choose to evaluate the spiritual information that comes your way. And may we all, like the Bereans, carefully study what's given to us and experience the full love of God, because we're taking in what's healthy and we're setting aside that which harms.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening and have a great week.